Amen. Wasn't that a blessing from the choir? Again, let's say thank you to Steve and to all of our choir and leadership. Good morning. I'm Pastor Mike. If you have your Bibles, find your place in 1 Peter, back toward the back of your New Testament, 1 Peter chapter 1. These days, we are talking about a very important topic, a topic that has to do with all of us this morning. It isn't so much that we're focused on testing, but it's that other word on the screen. It is faith. I share these things with you as your pastor. I have a deep concern about this very important issue in all of our lives. Here's why this is so important. Unless you believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll never be saved from hell and experience heaven. Unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, you never come to understand the joy and the peace of God, even in the midst of this troubled world. It is all about saving faith. And then it's all about living by faith. Because look, trouble is here and trouble will come all the days of our life. It comes in different patches, different ways, different waves. For some of you, the testing of your faith is going to go on all the rest of your life because of some tragedy or trial that's happened. Others of you, you come in these seasons of time and you wonder, what is it that God is doing? Well, that's what we're talking about these days. Some of us are saved by faith, but our faith is weak. Some of us are saved by faith, but our faith is languishing. We're not feeding our faith by the Word of God and growing in our strength by faith. So this is all about how you live in victory by faith in this world. And for all of you, this matters to every single person here, no matter how long you've walked with God. Today we talk about the test that shows whether or not we have real faith or not. A lot of people think they have faith, but when the trials and troubles come, it evaporates. It's not there. So we go to these wonderful words in 1 Peter, this letter. Peter's writing to these Christians who are scattered all around. And in verses 3 through 9, I'm reading these all because we won't focus on all of them today, but all of these words, this describes 1 Peter 3, 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. This describes the life of faith. It's a summary of what it means to live by faith in this world with heaven as our destination. So let's stand now and honor the reading of God's word and let's hear the word of God. So church, hear the word of the Lord, 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now, for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your souls. Heavenly Father, by the help of the Holy Spirit now, bless your word and give us understanding into these realities. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. So again, we come back to these words and we think about the importance of faith. Quickly, just for a moment, while these verses are still on the screen, you have your copy of God's Word open. Let me make just a few general comments about what Peter's saying along the way here. He praises God the Father, first of all, because he's shown mercy so that we who have believed by faith can be born again. My friend, when you put your faith in Jesus, you're not putting your faith or your confidence or your trust in an idea. You're not putting your faith or your trust or your confidence in some words. You're putting your faith and trust and confidence in a living Savior, a resurrected, glorified Jesus. You're putting your trust in a God-man who can change your life, who can forgive your sins, who gives you eternal life. Saving faith is placed in the person of Jesus Christ, not some good idea, not positive thinking, not happy talk. Saving faith is all tied to us falling upon Jesus, utterly dependent upon him to save us. You're born again. He says you're born again to a living hope. You know, the world's filled with misery, isn't it? I'm shocked in the world in which we live today. The older I get, the more amazed I am. Why, you'd think that all these modern things we have, you'd think that all these comforts we have would make people happier and more hopeful. It grieves me and saddens me to see the sadness and hopelessness of so many little children and students today. Why so hopeless? Why such despair? You see, when you're born again, when you're redeemed, when you've been saved from your sin, there rises inside of you, to replace the hopelessness, hopefulness. And that's what Peter's saying here. He goes on to describe, and it's because of the resurrected Jesus. You see, Jesus is alive today. Our Lord is alive. We put now our confidence in a living Savior. Now he's in a glorified place, and yet by Spirit he is here with us. The glorious Lord, our great high priest, he is there in that place that we believe by faith will one day be our home. And this is what he says. He says in verse 4, you've obtained an inheritance, and it's reserved in another place. Did you see it there? You have an inheritance. It's imperishable. It's undefiled. It'll never fade away. It's reserved for you in heaven. Those of you who are born again, those of you who've experienced saving faith, you have a heavenly inheritance. We think that just old people should think about going to heaven. Friend, if you're born again, you start thinking about heaven the day you get saved. I want to remind you, Dixon is not heaven. Good, I got your attention. It's beyond time. It's the place of the glorious one, the Lord Jesus, the glory of God. It's what the old preachers called the eternal day. Above the restrictions of time and space. We're so earthbound. You and I were made from the earth. We're tied to this place. We think that heaven must be somewhere under the earth. It's under the sun. It's not. You see, Peter reminds us here, we have something waiting for us. And verse 5, though we have something waiting, we're still here under the sun. He says in verse 5, you're protected by the power of God. Those of you who are born again, you have this wonderful inheritance, and you're protected by the power of God. Oh, we need the protection of God in this fallen world, in the troubles and the pains, in the adversary, the evil one, in our own, the world, the flesh, the devil. Oh, the troubles and the attacks that come, we must have the power of God to overcome it. And so it says we are kept by the power of God through faith. We believe and we trust God and his power to protect us. And he says in verse number 5, this protection and this faith is with us until we one day find ourselves in heaven. ready to be revealed in the last day. And then we come to our two focus verses. You greatly rejoice, even though for a while now, if necessary, you're distressed by your trials. The proof of your faith is more precious than even gold that is refined by a fire and will be found to result in praise. But I want you to see, before I get into the detail of that, verse 8. Here is the best description of living by faith, my friend. Someone would say, oh, Pastor Mike, if I could have been alive during the time Jesus walked on the earth when all these gospels were written, I would be able to believe easier. No, friend. It took faith on the part of those who saw Jesus with their own eyes, just like it takes faith, saving faith, surrendering and placing your trust in Jesus to live now. Look what Peter says. He says, though you have not seen him. There's not a person in this room who's ever seen Jesus with your eyes. But look what he says. Though you have not seen him, you love him. That's the result. What comes first from saving faith is an absolute love for Jesus. You love him. And though now you do not see him, look, you believe in him. How many times have I heard someone say, I'll never believe in anybody again? But you must believe in someone to be saved. You must believe in someone. You must believe in someone who deserves to be believed in. And he is Jesus, the one who lived his life, who spoke the words of God, and who committed himself to suffer when he did not deserve it, on the cross, so that you and I might have life. Oh, this is so good. Verse 9, and you receive as the outcome of your life, your faith, salvation for your souls. Did you know this faith we're talking about? You're not going to need your faith in heaven. It's just for here. So today, what is the condition of your faith? Do you even have saving faith? Are you one of those who you just are a positive person? The glass is always half full, and why, it's just a happy day, and you have happy thoughts, and you're just a positive person, and that'll get you to heaven. No, my friend, it won't. Well, tomorrow's going to be a better day, but tomorrow could be a bad day too. Because this is the teaching of God's word. Oh, the troubles. Why would God do this? I'm spending enough time on this because I'm not convinced that we all yet understand why God under the sun puts all of these things on us who would believe. Well, that's what we want to think about today. Just a few observations. The first one is one I've mentioned already. I won't spend a lot of time here. But it's the description of verse 6. Genuine faith. We're talking about what's real faith. Today, the question I have for you, is your faith saving faith? Is your faith the kind of faith that you're confident if you died today, you would go to heaven? This is your most important question, my friend, not how much you're going to make next year, where you're going to work, or where you're going to live. Have you trusted savingly in the Lord Jesus Christ so that you might have eternal life? Well, you see, genuine faith endures stress, stressful living. As if it weren't enough for Peter to mention to us we have trials, look at this way in which he provokes us. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice. What's he talking about? He's talking about heaven and the promise of the inheritance and the protection of God and Jesus coming again. But then he puts in those words, even though. You know, it's like your friend says, you want the good news or the bad news? Oh, give me the good news, all right? He's giving you that. You're rejoicing, but now the sobering news. There's a though in here. Even though. Look at this. Look at the way he has connected these phrases in verse 6. Now, for a little while, if necessary. Yesterday I stood in the funeral home. We said goodbye, along with some of our people who are part of our church, to their 42-year-old son. He was alive a week ago, and now he's dead. We live as if we have this confidence of tomorrow. But our faith must be put in a Lord, the distresses of life now. What's going on now in your life? I mentioned it the last hour. These words, various trials, you just fill in what your trial is. It might be a person. It might be a sickness. It might be a trouble. It might be your work. It might be some combination. You see, it's various trials. Distressed. Oh, the sadness of God's people. See, this is my burden. James says, rejoice when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. You trust God, you endure. Someone said the other day, well, we just got to gut it out. No, friend, you got to believe it out. You got to trust God through all you're going to go through. And as I look across this room, I'm reminded of our young friends who are here. I wish I could say to you, you're only going to have one rough patch in life, but it's not true. The various trials come, as we'll talk more about in the days ahead, through all the seasons of life. You say, Pastor Mike, I came to be encouraged today. Friend, I'm trying to encourage you. You must live in the real world, not in a false world where we have happy talk and joy and all is good when all is really bad. Genuine faith endures by faith. Paul said it the best, and I must say this. I say these words once in a while, and sometimes people I know don't know if that's... I'm just sharing this with you. I want to give you a little phrase here. I'm learning it in my own life. Trials are the best work in the worst times. It's true. I live just like you. Distressed by various trials. But I'm finding as I walk by faith that trials are the best work in the worst times. Paul said it. You should read 2 Corinthians 6 sometime. It seems like a contradiction in that chapter. Paul's talking about, here's a man who was a full-on missionary for God, sold out to God, and he had more trouble than most. I've said this to you. Some of God's best people have the worst troubles. Doesn't seem like it should be that way. Paul said these words that seem like a contradiction. I'll just give it to you. I got to move on. 2 Corinthians 6:10. Paul's in the midst of talking about the challenge of being in ministry and serving God. And he says, as sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Now that's a keeper for you. That's the contradiction. That's what we're doing by faith. Sorrowful, but rejoicing. Sad, but rejoicing. Because our faith is placed in Jesus, not an idea, not some happy thoughts about creation and the animals or some of our friends. Our faith is placed in Jesus. Secondly, Peter teaches us here in verse 7. The rest of my time, I remain in verse 7 now. I want to make three observations quickly. Genuine faith produces endurance in the stress of trials, but secondly, genuine faith is proven by trials. Here it is. Notice what he says. So that, these trials, verse 6, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire. Oh, the blessing of the gift of trials and fire. You can't control fire. Fire completely consumes. You can't get very close to it. Fire is a powerful thing. We teach our children not to get too close to the heat. Don't touch that oven. Don't go by that fire. Don't get too close. Fire, the fire of trials, the fires that rage in your life. Why? It's to prove whether your faith is real or not. When the trial comes, do I run to Jesus and pray? And do I find myself in God's word? Or when the trial comes, do I get mad and blame God and hate God? Oh, this is the difference in saving faith and no faith. And the many, many who live in our world live without any faith in God. So whatever your trial is, put in whatever the trial is in your life. You can name it. The proof of your faith is seen by the trial. You know, I can tell you this story. Most of you know it. We learned it. We teach our boys and girls this. It's in the gospel. Jesus had a hard, long day of ministry. He was exhausted. He got in the boat. By the way, he got in a boat with experienced fishermen. They knew all about being boaters. They get out in that water, and what happens? You know the story. Jesus is tired. The Lord Jesus, fully God, fully man, he was tired. He went to sleep, and he was out. He was asleep, fully asleep. And the storm comes, and the waves rage, and the wind blows, and the rain comes, and these experienced boaters are so afraid, they go back there and wake up Jesus. Lord, don't you care about us? We're dying. And the Lord calmed the sea, calmed the wind and the waves and the rain and all the rest. And then you remember what he did? He turned to his dear disciple friends and he said, where is your faith? The raging fire burns and the trial comes in your life. And here's what you must decide. Will you believe Jesus? Will you trust him? Will you surrender and place your confidence in him in the midst of the fire? Or will you just blame God? I've given you Psalm 44:17 here. It's a great response to a psalm talking about trouble. And the response is this: all of this has come upon us. You see, it's coming upon you. It comes in seasons of time. It comes in waves, these troubles, these despairing moments. And yet, the question is, will we face our trouble? All this has come upon us, but look at this statement of faith. But we have not forgotten you, and we have not dealt falsely with your covenant. That's the confidence of faith. You see, the proof of your faith, the strength of your faith, is demonstrated by what you do in the fire of trial. That will show you where your faith is. And Jesus said, where is your faith? I ask you today, in your trouble, where's your faith? Psalm 11:5 says, the Lord tests the righteous. You can mark it down. When the trial comes, will I trust and obey? See, that's the story all through the Word of God. Will I, when the trouble comes, trust and obey? Will I? When it's hard, when I cannot see the light, when I'm in the dark, and just like Job, one after another, I keep getting a report about another problem, another pain, another struggle. Will I trust and obey? The third thing we see in verse 7. Genuine faith is precious. You know what faith is, friend. Faith is that confident assurance. Pastor Ken read it a moment ago to the boys and girls. Faith is confident assurance. Maybe I should say it this way. You know, faith is a resting heart on God. You just rest. You rest. All around you swirls the distraction. All around you swirls the trouble and pain that you're going through. And it's hard not to focus on that, but you must, by faith, rest. Resting, trusting. God knows best. You see, faith is precious. It assures you. Faith is precious. It gives you confidence in all things. You see, faith is precious because it brings perfect peace. Faith is precious, more precious than gold. It brings joyfulness. I have for you Isaiah 50:10. Here's where some of us are today. Who is among you that fears the Lord? Many of us. Who obeys the voice of his servant? Many of us. But yet, we walk in darkness and we see no light. It's like some seniors would say, why is God keeping me here? My own mother said that not long ago. She's in her 80s. Why am I still here? Well, mother, maybe it's so you can be strengthened in your faith. Why am I enduring all of these things? Because your faith is precious, and you see the refining fire of trouble makes you more like Jesus. Who among us fears the Lord, obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him. Let the one in the dark and let him who has no light, when you're in the midst of it all, when the fire is the hottest, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Your faith is precious. It is your most valuable possession. And finally, genuine faith brings glory to God and praise from God. This is so important. Notice how Peter ends here. So that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found. What will be found? My faith. My precious faith may be found to result in praise, glory, and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you had to trust God for in the deepest, darkest time in your life, and you stood and you believed by faith, one day the Lord will say, well done. Well done. You will receive praise and glory and honor. There is a time of honor that comes for God's people. When faith is done, there comes the honor in the glorious heaven to come. But there also is this beautiful picture of us praising and glorifying and honoring God by our faith. There's nothing better for you and I to do than in the midst of our trouble to trust completely in God. And that is our need. And that is our challenge. So I have two things for you today as we finish. Two things that I hope you'll take this week for daily use. This would be my way of concluding all of these ideas and these observations from the Word of God. The first one is this, my friend. Consider that your faith is better by the fire of trials. Now, let me say it this way. Why are you focused on your trial? Why aren't you paying attention to your faith? Oh, you know, this is Pastor Mike's problem in his trials. Lord, don't you know about this? Lord, can't you understand I've got this? Why are you putting me through this? What is all the moaning? Pastor Mike's complaining and moaning and moaning and groaning about his test. Might be a person. Might be something at work. Might be a circumstance. Might be sickness. Can come in all kinds of ways. And I'm focused on the trouble rather than on my faith. Ah, there it is. Do you believe God in the worst of times? Do you believe God when everybody else walks away from you? Do you believe God when you have to stand alone and you're standing there in the dark, and as the psalmist said, the mockers are saying, where's your God? And then finally, did you catch it what Peter said in verse 6? It's only for a little while. Have you ever had to tell your kids that? They want you to hurry up. They want to hurry up and get through, and they're all standing around, they're all moaning and groaning, and they're all complaining. And you say, in a little while, we'll be done. Of course you have. Some of you parents are looking at me like I'm speaking Greek. You've said it. You probably said it before you got to church today. In a little while. the little while of life. Boy, if we all knew everything that was going to happen to us, maybe we'd be a lot better off. You think? I don't think so. So heaven, the eternal place, the eternal day, we walk by faith toward a destination. We're not just doing this thing of faith to get along and be happy. See, that's earthbound thinking. Well, I just need to be faith. I need to have faith so I can have a better day. Friend, again, I'm back to my point earlier. Dixon's not heaven. But there is a place reserved for you, an inheritance, and the Lord Jesus, and all the glorious saints, and all of those who have gone before and will come after until Jesus comes, and we walk by faith. I'm going to endure. I'm going to thank God for the fire. And remember, it's just for a while. Where is your faith? What condition is your faith in when you get the news? What did the psalm say? The psalmist said, when he receives the sudden news, he will not fear, but he will put his trust in God. That's what we must do. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for the truth of your word. We will never have a day just like this again if you give us any more days. This day is going to be a very unique day. It's a unique day, a single day you've given us. Now we've heard your word, and for some of us, we must say, I don't have any faith. I don't have any faith. How I pray that you would lift them up and help them to know that they can call upon your name and rely and trust in you, and they can be saved. I pray for my friends whose faith is almost gone. They've just about given up. They're saved, but they can't hardly believe anymore. Lift them up. I pray for my friends whose faith is strong. May they maintain their strong faith by feeding on the Word of God. And for all of us, forgive us when we focus on the trial and not on you by faith. So with our heads bowed, what is it Jesus has been saying to you? This is important now. You must say now, what have I heard today from the Bible? And what will I do with it? That's what you must decide right now. You may not ever have another day, friend. What will you do? The just shall live by faith. During this time, we also invite people to come and be a part of this church if they believe this is what God's put on their heart. We like to talk with them about it. And so some always ask me, I mention this every week, this in just a moment when we stand and after we pray and we sing, it'll be your opportunity to step forward if you need to come and be a part of this church. And if you need to make some other kind of spiritual decision, we invite you to do it. Heavenly Father, now may the Word of God do its work. May the Holy Spirit be working among us. We thank you for that happening now. May decisions be made that need to be made today, whether they're public or private, that would save the lives of the hearer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand, please? Thank you for your patience. Let's sing together this great old song. Todd's here, I'm here. We invite you to come if you need to come. Let's sing.